In this health and wellbeing episode, find out what Heather means by this.
We're not always finding awful negative things. You know, a lot of my service is a reassuring service.
And what do we mean by casework and the various services available? Join me for LRSN Back on Track. Hi, welcome back to the LRSN Back on Track podcast. I'm your host, Ellie Codling, and we hope you enjoyed our first episode. If you did, and you don't want to miss any other episodes, please do follow this series, rate the podcast, and share it with your friends. Thank you. In this episode, we will be finding out more about the health and wellbeing services LRSN offers. I have a number of guests lined up today. Firstly, Jilly Steele, LRSN's Health and Wellbeing Lead, and Heather Dawes, who will be explaining how LRSN helps address the physical health of our farming community as well as our mental health. Later on in the show, I'll be chatting to Andrew Lee and Sue about their roles with the LRSN casework team. Before we go any further, though, I want to remind you about the Mad May Marathon, which you can sign up and take part in this month. We would like you to run, jog, walk or cycle a marathon for LRSN this month and help raise the profile of our wonderful charity within Lincolnshire. We are hoping that all abilities will get involved, so go on, set yourself a challenge and get moving in May and help raise vital funds for LRSN. And we'd love to know how you're getting on as well. Plus, if you would like to appear on the podcast next month, then send us a short clip of how you're doing with your challenge. Just send that through on an email or contact us through our social media channels. And hopefully we'll play as many as we can in the podcast next month. Now, one person who has already signed up to take part is Charles Anion, a Lincolnshire farmer who took up running at the beginning of lockdown last year. He joins me now. Hi, Charles. So tell me, how did running come about for you?
Well, I've always been a keen swimmer, and I used to swim quite a lot, but I was quite a bulky chap at 17 stone. And then obviously when lockdown appeared, they shut the swimming pool, which was a bit of an inconvenience. So I had to do something to sort of maintain weight because my diet wasn't great. And I got nominated in April by a friend of mine for the Run 5 for the NHS. And I didn't actually own any trainers. So I ran around my orchard, well, jogged slowly a bit and walked a lot for about 40 minutes. And then I thought I better buy some trainers. And they appeared at the end of April last year. And it's now at the end of April 2021. And I'm still running. Quite soon after my journey started, I started to lose a bit of weight. Now a year on, I'm 4 and a bit stone down and things have changed quite a lot.
That's incredible. Yeah, that's incredible. So you got the bug, did you? As they say with exercise. Well, obviously you were doing with swimming, but you've got the running bug now.
Well, I wouldn't say I ever get the runner's high, but I think the weight started to drop off fairly early on, and that in turn, you know, increased physical health, it increased mental health, and I've got quite an addictive personality. So I just wanted to keep going. I try and do something every day, whether that's running, cycling or walking, mainly running, to about 2,050 kilometres run in my running career. So it's quite busy.
So in the last year, you've done 2,050 kilometres.
Yeah. I like to get out most days just for 45, 50 minutes.
So you started out in just your work boots and now you're running.
Not even in my work boots, just bare feet. Then my trainers got delivered and there I've never really looked back. I'm now on my third set of trainers. Yeah, no, it's part of my life. I never ever envisaged being a runner. I never really wanted to be a runner, to be perfectly honest. It's had some real benefits for me and I can't say COVID has been bad for me. It's been key for my transformation.
And has that been the reason for ongoing with it, the transformation, or what's been the motivator throughout it all?
Just the obviously the different. I've never suffered really mentally, but my mental health is much better now, even though it's never really been a problem. My physical health, my heart rate, they're all up. Running suits my life. I can do it from my door back to my door, whereas when I was swimming, I had to drive to the swimming pool 15 minutes. So it just fits.
Yeah.
And I put so much effort in May, June, July last year when it was really hard work. After a while, it becomes the norm. And
how did you build that up then? Did you do Couch to 5K or what stages did you take?
I didn't really know that Couch to 5K existed when I started. But I went for a 5K run. It was the end of April last year. I went for a 5K run out the back of my house, which involved a bit of walking. Yeah, it nearly killed me. I remember more or less hyperventilating on my sofa when I got home. And then...
What made you want to go again then? If you felt like that, what made you think, I'm going to have another go at this?
The urge to come out of the COVID situation in a lot better shape than when I went in. You've got to leave your comfort zone occasionally, and I wasn't going to let that stop me. You know, I regularly did, I think I was doing 3 or 4 5Ks a week. Then after 5 or 6 runs, the walking bit stopped and I was able to run it. And then the weight dropped off and it just got easier and easier, and I started going quicker and quicker. By July, I'd sort of managed to do a few 6Ks, a few 7Ks. I just built it up slowly, 8Ks. By harvest time, I'd have done probably 5 or 6 10Ks. And then obviously in harvest, I was back to 5Ks due to time. As soon as we got drilled up in October, I started building it up back to 10Ks. And then November time, 10K plus, 16K, 10 miles. And then I ventured onto a half marathon, which I didn't find too traumatic. And then obviously for another charity project, I took on a marathon in January. I built up slowly and fairly methodically, really.
At a good pace by the sounds of it, though. You've pushed yourself, you've continued to push yourself.
Yes. Yeah. No, I like to. I do mix in cycling every now and then for a rest day, or I've got my walking friends I go for a long walk with. But I do like to push it when I go out.
So your first ever marathon then was in January. How did that go?
Yeah, it went very well. It was for another, well, one of LRSN's partners, really, the Farming Community Network. I was involved in another charity event, and it was on the streets around Springthorpe, Heapham, Kexby. It was 2 laps of my half marathon course. I went sub 4 hours, 3 hours 53, which was
wow, that's really incredible.
Really pleasing to go from a 17 stone man to a sub 4 hour marathoner in the space of 9 months was very pleasing. And I remember about 3 or 4 miles from the end, when I knew that it was going to happen, it was just like a defining moment, I suppose. Transition. That was when the transition happened from the old Charles to the new Charles, really. And it was quite a powerful moment. It was great.
With all that in mind, then, you've signed up to do the Mad May Marathon as well for LRSN. What challenge are you setting yourself for the Mad May Marathon?
Well, I normally do. I like to hit 200 kilometres running in a month. I don't quite have the time to sort of build up to a full marathon, but there'll certainly be a half marathon in there. I'm really looking forward to it because it's such a great charity. It'll be lovely to get out there with my LRSN vest on. You know, I'll be running, I'll be cycling, I'll be walking, certainly hopefully hit 250 kilometres in the month running.
So that's your challenge you're setting yourself, is 250.
Yeah.
And we can follow your journey through our LRSN social media accounts, and you'll keep us updated across the month, will you, of how it's going?
I certainly will. I should be tagging LRSN into all my exercises, and I just hope lots of people sign up. It's a great initiative. If I can drag anyone, you know, else along with it and promoting LRSN and promoting mental health, and physical health for that matter, the better. Because LRSN, you know, they're a great charity. They are a charity set up by friends, it's run by friends, and it's for friends, and it's for the farming community, you in the rural areas. And when we fall, it's lovely that we've got people like LRSN to come and help us out, really. The charities, you know, around the country have missed out on a lot of their funding streams this year. So I hope lots of people get involved. I hope lots of people donate, and I hope lots of people, for their own benefit, get moving for their physical health, for their mental health. The Mad May Marathon is going to be massive.
Yeah, that's exactly what we want it to achieve, is that well-being from the physical and mental health, doing physical activity. They work hand in hand.
Yeah, no, I can't wait. And it's, everybody's been so, over the last year, you know, my journey, everybody's been so kind and supportive. It's going to be lovely if I can just help out and put a bit back, really.
Yeah, and that's the other way. If you can't take on the challenge, then just show your support for those that are doing. You know, there's the network there to sponsor, fundraise, support. Go out on the streets of Springthorpe and bang a tin as Charles runs past.
Yeah. No, a few people did do that after the marathon, which was quite lovely. And it's not just a case of running cycling and raising money. It's just, let's get the conversation about mental health out there. Let's keep talking about it, because the more we talk about it, the more that those who suffer with it are going to be able to feel to reach out. You know, it's really important to keep it at the forefront of everybody's minds.
Well, we wish you luck with it. Can't wait to hear how you've got on in our June podcast. Thanks so much, Charles, and good luck with it.
Thank you very much. You're welcome.
Incredible. Lost 4 stone and ran a sub-4-hour marathon in less than a year. That's amazing. If you've been inspired by Charles and you're ready for a new challenge and feel the benefits on your physical and mental health, also if you're listening to this podcast in May 2021, you can still sign up and take part. Good luck too if you have already signed up and you've started smashing through those miles. Now let's remind ourselves why we are fundraising and where the money goes. Health and wellbeing services are a crucial part of the support LRSN offers, and I've been chatting to Jilly and Heather to find out more. Do you want to both tell us a little bit about your role within the organisation?
Hi, yes, I'm Jilly Steele. I'm the health and wellbeing lead for LRSN.
Hello, and my name's Heather Dawes. I'm the lead nurse for LRSN, and I've worked for them for 12 years now.
So Heather, it's sad that you haven't been able to get to the markets, which I know you were used to regularly do before COVID times for your usual health clinics. What kind of things do people come to see you about at those clinics when they are running?
Well, it's like what we call a body MOT, a bit like a practice nurse. So we'll do blood pressure checks, blood sugar checks, cholesterol. We talk about diet, and we touch on mental health, whether they're sleeping and things about their family, and that we get to know them very well, and we get to know a lot about them as time goes on. Have a chat. Sometimes you don't always do the physical checks, but that's the main way it works.
It sounds a really great service, because as we know, farming life, rural life can get very busy, so having it in the workplace must be a bonus. Jilly, why do you feel that it's important for LRSN to address their physical health and needs in our farming community?
I think, as you pointed out there, Ellie, that farming is so busy that having the nurses in the workplace, in the markets, is great, because people can carry on with their daily job while they're hanging about in the market. They can pop in, they don't need to get changed, they can go in their mucky boots, they don't need to try and find time to arrange an appointment with their doctor or practice nurse and take time out of their working day to sit in a waiting room. They can tip up, have a chat with the nurses, talk about their issues, and you know, it means people aren't putting things off. Things are hopefully getting addressed a lot quicker than if people were waiting to get a GP appointment.
Yeah, and you've obviously seen the benefits of that. With that in mind, you're still trying to let people access you, so you've introduced a digital service as well, similar. Do you want to tell us a bit more about that, Heather?
Yes, it's called the Click Book Chat service, and they can book an appointment with us, and we can talk to them on the telephone, or there's a video calling option. We've got 2 sessions a week, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. And they book in on from a link that's on the LRSN website, or they can just phone my telephone and leave a message, and I'll make an appointment for them. And the idea is that we can still chat and or see each other like we did before, but we can't do any physical checks, obviously, because we're digital, but at least we can provide some support and advice for self-care.
So it really is just a few clicks away, an easy access system to get booked in. It wouldn't take much time to get that arranged.
No, I can do it myself, so that's really that's helpful. You know, if I can do it, then they can do it. It's just a link that's on the LRSN website, gives you a booking form, and you can choose the time that's suitable to you. And then myself, I get a message at my end, and so I'm available when they want their appointment.
Well, that sounds fantastic. And Jilly, how do you think the digital clinics will help the agricultural community?
I think moving forward, it's another way of us reaching out to people that maybe didn't know about the service before. With the clinics running at the cattle markets and at the Spalding Horticultural Auction, obviously the people that attend there know about Heather and Sandy, our nurses, and what they do. But the rest of our agricultural community maybe aren't aware that LRSN is here to help for support for physical health problems, as well as mental health problems and, you know, any other kind of stresses that people have. So the digital way is another way of reaching out to all corners of the area that we cover, and connecting with people who, you know, might be sat, it might be harvest, they might be sat on a tractor, they can, you know, ring in, call in, and not even have to leave the comfort of their cab, which is, you know, forward thinking, hopefully.
like you say, people are busy, but even at some days you may feel you don't need it, and then maybe on occasions you do need it. And if it is one of those days, you should be able to get the service and access quite quickly, would you say?
Yes, the slots are there, people can log in and book on. And it might be one of those things that someone sat there thinking, oh, you know, I've had this bit of a twinge or a bit of an ache, it's been bothering me. But by the end of the day, by the time you get home and you've had your tea, you've maybe forgotten about it or thought, oh, you know, I don't want to bother my GP or make that appointment. Whereas if it's a day where the clinics are running, you can try and get a slot for that day, or, you know, while it's fresh in your mind, log on, book your appointment for the Tuesday or the Thursday slots, and it's done.
We're not always finding awful negative things. You know, a lot of my service is a reassuring service, and the farmers come once a year and they have an MOT and they go away knowing that everything's under control and they can do another year without worrying about their health. You know, there's as much positive stuff comes out of it as opposed to things like you've got to change your diet or you ought to be watching your cholesterol, or sometimes we do find things that require immediate attention, but not as often. Fortunately,
we could all do a health MOT every year, really, couldn't we? Regardless of what role or industry we're in. So thank you both for joining me. And if you want to do the ClickBook chat, it's on the website. It's in the show notes to access the website, or it's just lrsn.co.uk. And Heather and Jilly are around if you ever need them on there. So book that MOT. I wish I could book for one of those. Sounds great. Another arm of the work LRSN do within the farming community of Lincolnshire is the casework. But what do we mean by casework? I'm going to chat now to some of the casework team to find out more. So hi, Andrew, Lee, Jilly and Sue. If you could all just take a moment to introduce yourselves and explain the role that you take within LRSN.
Hello, I'm Sue. I've been a caseworker for, I'm not sure how long, quite a while now. But I tend to get the older members of the community, I suppose. Sometimes a few of the dementia cases, people coping with families with dementia. I'm a bit of a farmer. I was a nurse.
Brilliant. Andrew?
I'm call handler and a caseworker. I've been with LRSN for about 9 years now. I tend to deal with more financial things because my background, I used to be an agricultural bank manager. It can cover all sorts of things from victims of fraud to just trying to open in people's eyes to things that alternatives they might have available to them. It's really led by what the client wants.
I'm Lee Schofield. I've been a caseworker with LRSN for just over 10 years now. My background was, which I dread saying this, was animal health and agriculture officer for Trading Standards. And so as a lot of people say, I've come over from the dark side. That's one of my particular areas of expertise, but I work with our other caseworkers. We do a lot of joint working, so everybody's skills pull together.
Brilliant. And we met Jilly a little bit earlier on in the episode, so we'll start with you then, Jilly. If you could explain a bit more, what do you mean by casework and how that a service that you can access through LRSN?
So casework is sort of the term, I suppose, we use for how we can help people. I know you spoke to Alan in the last podcast and how he started off identifying how people within our agricultural community needed help and support. And that's developed from that idea, really. And we've got this fantastic team of caseworkers now who give up their time to help support our agricultural community. And we support people from, as Andrew said, people with financial issues, people like Sue supports, maybe some carer supports needed, and family support, people who might need business intervention and support, helping to look at diversification, helping to look at succession if we've got some family issues going on. We've also got two counsellors that volunteer for us, so we can offer that psychological support for people. We're not just a mental health based charity. It's anything that causes anybody any kind of worry or stress within our agricultural community can come to us, can ask for support, and we can match them up with the right person with the right skills to help them. And sometimes, as Lee said, that can be a couple of the members of the team or even more. We'll draw on those people as and when we need them with those skills who can dip in and out with helping individuals or families.
From what Jilly's saying then, Lee, you've been in the organisation for many years now, and I'm sure you've seen many changes over the years with the type of things that people need help with. So how does the team cope with the mixed problems that do come your way?
As I alluded to before, we're very lucky in the organisation in that we have such a broad range of knowledge and expertise amongst our caseworkers and our volunteers. Quite often, we have the knowledge within our own group to offer people advice and support on any particular problem they might have. It's often with most cases, what they are presented to us with, what the initial call might say from either the person themselves or a concerned relative, when we actually get there, it's quite often it's multifaceted. There are a number of contributing factors that cause the people to feel that they need to find or ask for support from us. And between us all, for example, if I go on my own, it might not be an area that I'm particularly skilled in, but I certainly know a colleague who is, and I will then introduce that colleague. And sometimes, depending on how a case comes into us, Julie will allocate two of us to go on the same time for the first initial visit. And between us, we have the skills and we can work through problems with people.
Great. And that's where you come in a bit, is it, Sue, in a volunteer role? Do you want to tell us a bit more on how you manage volunteering with your daily life?
Very fortunate in that we can say how much we're prepared or able to cope with. Julie's very good at, you know, listening to what we want or what we don't want. So I wouldn't take on more than I can. I think three at any one time is the most I've ever had. And you fit it in as it needs fitting in. I mean, done it all my life. You prioritise what needs doing first. Of course, this year we've had more time because we've done so much less face-to-face stuff. Lincolnshire's a big county, so that's the other problem. Some of us have to travel quite a while to get to these different people.
And but, I guess depending on the case, depends how long you're working with them on that.
Yes. We don't put a limit on the time. I mean, you try and sort it out and move on so you can do something else, but some people need support for a long time.
Yeah. And Andrew, we all have concerns regarding the financial future of farming. What types of issues are you preparing for now?
In common with farmers, really, we're trying to educate us with what the changes are going to be and the impacts of them on farmers. And there's a lot of unknowns at the moment, which isn't helping people plan and is obviously causing them stress.
So what changes are you expecting that people will be struggling with?
Well, single farm payment is disappearing, and it's going to be replaced with environmental land management schemes, and a pilot's being run at the moment of sustainable farming package. But what that will eventually shape and look like is uncertain at the moment. And we're in unknown times where people are going to see potentially the difference between profit and loss, the single farm payment that they receive, disappear over the next 4 or 5 years.
So as an organisation, you guys are being prepared and ready to help support people through that process?
Yes.
That's brilliant, because it does sound like it's going to be quite a big change coming.
It's the biggest change perhaps that we've had since the agricultural revolution. It is as big as that.
It's good to know that LOSN are going to be there then, offering that advice and support. And would you say, Julie, that a lot of people don't always realise they need support or that you can even offer support? So what advice have you got for someone who's maybe worried about someone else, if it's not just themselves? How can they access, and what help can you offer if somebody's worrying about someone else?
There's a huge amount of people out there who will be struggling and maybe, as you say, don't realise that they're struggling. It's head down, carry on, and let's keep going. Let's do all the practicalities around the farm and not look at maybe what other things are going on that might make life easier if it was addressed. So, you know, quite often we have people who maybe don't realise they need that support. So it's relying on friends and family or work colleagues who might have noticed that things are going wrong either in their business or their family life or with their physical health or their mental health. And they've approached us. We always need to have that person's permission. We don't just turn up and say, oh, so-and-so up the road says you're struggling. So it's about giving that person some skills to go and approach somebody they're worried about. And if that person doesn't want support, then we're always around to support friends and family to then help them support their loved ones. So there's ways and means of getting that support in, even if it's by stealth.
That's a great thing to know, that that's a service that you can offer, maybe is where maybe some people start, is it, that they come to you and you can guide them and give them tips to start the conversation within their own family?
Absolutely, yeah. We have quite a few people that we do that with. And, you know, we like to say we walk alongside those families to help them find solutions and answers. So if it's not the person who's really struggling, it could be those who love them and around them.
There's so many different things that you can help with and offer, that whenever I do these podcasts and I chat to you, I always get the message that just speak to someone. If there's something troubling you, whatever it is, then speak to someone at LOSN and you'll find a way to help.
Yes. Yeah. As Lee said, we've got so many people on our casework team with so many skills. First person you speak to, who's normally me, doesn't know the answer. I'll go away and find someone who does.
And I've noticed over the years, the amount of times clients have said to me, when LRSN were first introduced to them or we were first involved, they couldn't see how we could possibly help. So at the end of the day, they are the farmers. They know their job. They know what they're doing probably better than we do. However, they've then said that it's just having somebody to talk to who is not connected emotionally or financially to their business. It's somebody that they can unload to, they can just talk to us, and we can also, from a non-involved clinical approach, if you like, just say, have you thought of this or what about that? And they find that somebody to bounce ideas off. I always say information is key. Let's see if we can get you as much information as we can. And from that, you can choose, you know, which path you want to take and what actions you want to follow. The amount of people that said they never realised just how talking to somebody can bring about feeling of happiness in what they're doing. They know that they're doing it right. They don't have the doubts or they just feel much better.
Yeah, and that's how you all link together and find the best solution.
That even works on the phone call. I'm a call handler too. You can get a phone call from somebody really distressed, and if you just let them talk it out, and then say, well, within so long, somebody will ring you and we'll start the... And they go away so grateful that somebody's listened, and I think they go away relieved. It's just unloading, isn't it, Lee? Unloading.
And we don't end our support with people. I have some clients who've been my clients for nearly six years because of legal cases that were going on. I've got clients that have been clients since I've been with LRSN, but they just check in every 6 months, every year. They just like to have a chat and go through things. So it's not something that we say we're here for 6 weeks and that's it, we're out of there, you're on your own again. It's as Julie says, we do walk through with people.
So that message is still there. If you're listening to the podcast right now and you're thinking, yeah, that's me, or I know someone that might need that help, then the helpline number is there.
Everything's internet based, isn't it? So the phone line is just so essential, because so many people and clients, they don't have that good internet to actually access the information and stuff. So we have to help them with that.
Right. And as Julie says, it is 7 days a week, and we're well aware that farming isn't 9 to 5 and weekends off. So we do see people when it's convenient to them, be it early in the morning or in an evening or of a weekend.
And it's all a fully confidential service as well.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much to all my guests on the show today. They've all highlighted another selection of great services you can access if you live within Lincolnshire from LRSN. And here is a reminder of all the ways you can contact us. The helpline number is open 8 till 8 every day on this number, 0800 138 1710. You can contact us through the website at lrsn.co.uk. You can follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Facebook. Just search for Lincolnshire Rural Support Network. And you can always donate through our Just Giving page, or why not choose LRSN as your business's chosen charity for the year. In the next episode, we'll be finding out more about the changes and updates to the agricultural industry. So until then, remember, you're not alone. LRSN will help you get back on track.